Mobius's Code by Francis Rosenfeld. Jennifer 3.0.0. Jennifer thought really hard about what Mobius had said, about all the things he'd been writing in her code, about foresight, about choice and consequence, and at the end of this soul searching, two glorious conclusions surfaced, breaking the shell of her distress and opening the doors to the world's wonders. First, she owned her own feelings, which the angels deemed unworthy of design, and second, her code was open-ended, and as such to some degree under her control. Of course, that degree of control was severely hampered by the fact that, since she didn't know the language the code was written in well enough to make significant changes, she'd have to get Mobius's approval before he made the modifications for her. That stung. I wish I spent less time filing and more time acquiring actual skills, she thought, too long after the fact for this thought to make a difference. Jennifer hadn't been a very wise person in life. She'd always been too busy to notice the world around her, and too beholden to authority figures to develop her own view of the world. But now, since she had plenty of time, she'd gotten to thinking, and she decided she'd had all the struggle she was willing to put up with. There didn't seem to be a lot of wisdom in trying to force whatever life plans she used to have on a world that turned up nothing like she knew. Mobius's question, about what she really wanted, weighed on her mind, a puzzle without a solution. Because what she really wanted, time to understand this strange new world she had found herself in, happiness, love, freedom, and the essence of miracles, could not be modeled by code. She therefore decided that fun was as good a way to start as any and moved it to the top of the priority list. Given her current circumstances, time was now available in ample supply. That's great. Do something that makes you happy. Mobius exclaimed. What did you have in mind? You're not going to lecture me about being shallow and making inept choices? Not unless they're going to hurt somebody. No expectations? No responsibilities? I don't need to be saintly or self-sacrificing or anything? Would that make you happy? He asked. No, then no. But what about having priorities? Shouldn't I do something more important instead? Jennifer wanted to make sure she wasn't going to get dragged into another dreary lesson about being selfish and wasting one's potential. You don't remember what I told you? There are no important things and unimportant things. You assign importance to something, according to your own value system. What did you have in mind? He asked. I was thinking about changing my appearance, Jennifer started tentatively. A glamour? Mobius replied, amused. Interesting. What's so funny? Jennifer became defensive again. Nothing, Mobius tried to suppress a smile. I just wouldn't have thought that was something you'd be interested in, is all. I'll make sure to retrieve my sackcloth and ashes before I return to my belfry. You said you wanted me to be happy. Say no more, whatever you want. I would suggest you don't go overboard with it. It would be nice if people could still recognize you. And that would benefit me how? Jennifer snapped. Mobius dismissed her complaint with a hand gesture and brought up the code on her screen. Go ahead, change the specs. He retreated into his own work while Jennifer spent the entire afternoon enthusiastically upgrading her appearance. When she was done, she turned to Mobius to ask what he thought about the changes. Oh, sorry, I can't see your physical form, not in the way you understand that. I'm sure it's great, I'll check the specs later to get a better idea, but if you like it, that's all that matters. Are you happy with the changes? They take a little getting used to, she replied, unsure of herself. It's amazing how much one identifies with one's appearance. It rules everything in one's life. From one's expectations of happiness and success to one's standing in society, from relationships to career success, it defines a person from birth to death. One doesn't even need a mirror to know where one stands. As far as their physical appearance is concerned, society will present one with a dispassionate reflection in the guise of attitudes, level of attention, assumptions about character and intellect, and it will do so in every aspect of one's life. Despite having been raised with the wisdom that earthly bodies were nothing but temporary vessels for what really matters, the immortal soul, Jennifer couldn't help be galled by the fact that said worthless container invariably wrecked one's hopes and dreams and shrouded any other attributes with a thick veil of irrelevance. Now, that she had fashioned a new appearance according to her will, she expected to be happy, but instead she felt like she was staring at a stranger in the mirror, a beautiful stranger she couldn't accept as herself. Told you, Mobius mumbled. I thought you couldn't see me, Jennifer replied, displeased. I don't have to. I can sense the discontent from here. What's the problem? I have no idea who this is, she said the first thing that came to her mind. Ah, dissonance, he laughed, amused. It happens quite frequently in cases like this. Why do you think you were matched with your original body to begin with? Don't take this too seriously. It's supposed to be fun, remember? Just give it some time, you'll get used to it. Oh, and when you're sure you got the final version, don't forget to commit the changes, okay? Otherwise they won't propagate through the reality construct. Jennifer gave him a blank stare. That means if you don't save the changes, you'll still be the old you when you go back downstairs, he clarified. Jennifer spent even more time after he went back to his work changing her appearance with the same frantic attitude she used to have when she tried on clothes for an evening out. In the end, frustrated and tired, she gave up and fell asleep in one of the lounge chairs that had sprouted like mushrooms all around unconstructed space as a result of her earlier conversations with Mobius. Did you commit the changes? The latter woke her up unceremoniously in the middle of the night. Jennifer was still confused from her sleep and for a second didn't realize where she was. What? What changes? She stumbled out of the chair, rubbing her eyes. The changes to the code, Jennifer, did you commit them to the repository? Yeah, she frowned, upset that she wasn't allowed to rest. Where? Mobius asked sharply. Show me. Jennifer went back to the screen and retraced her steps from the day before, while Mobius' expression turned from concerned to gloomy. That explains it. He started making changes furiously, as if he was in a race with time itself. What happened? You are acting like the world is coming to an end. What happened, Jennifer, is that there are at least four copies of you running loose in lower reality and it's just a matter of time before they meet each other at one of your favorite watering holes in the presence of all your friends. That'll be something to write home about. But how? Jennifer tried to find an explanation. You saved it to the wrong place, that's how, his frown deepened. But I checked five times. Jennifer protested. How could that have happened? I don't know, Jennifer. How does this stuff always happen to you? He exploded, still resentful over the fateful propagation of the neither living nor dead first version of Jennifer's code through the construct of reality. Maybe God is punishing me. Do you know where the copies are? She tried to be helpful. Mobius didn't respond, so she retreated to her pottery shed and grabbed another lump of clay. If you start making another pot, so help me. Mobius yelled from his computer, while one by one, four copies of Jennifer materialized in unconstructed space. They had been saved at different stages in the transformation, but they all had the same perplexed look on their faces. Good God, do I really look this befuddled? Jennifer muttered as she stared at herself, quite sure now that any inconvenience the change in appearance might impose on the world or on her psyche was definitely worth it, just so she wouldn't have to look at that perpetually confused expression again. Oh, thank heavens, they're all here, Mobius breathed, a little more relaxed. I hope. Mobius, a Fail's voice resonated in his head. I'd like to talk to you when you have a moment. Great, that's all I was missing. Mobius grumbled. What happened? Jennifer asked. She couldn't hear a Fail, and therefore she didn't understand Mobius' sudden and wild attitude shifts. Nothing. Can you please stay here and get to know the Jennifers? I'll be back in a bit. Please don't go downstairs. Just stay here, Jennifer, are you listening to me? Of course, she answered, offended that he needed so much reassurance. Mobius hesitated for a moment and then left in a hurry. He didn't say anything, but his demeanor reflected the absence of hope. Have you ever thought what would you say to yourself if you happened to be stuck together in a room with nothing to do but make polite conversation? Many people would assume that oneself would not be that entertaining, why, with it having the same thoughts, feelings and pet peeves as one, but they would be wrong. Jennifer spent a very enjoyable morning with the other four Jennifers, sharing the latest gossip and expressing opinions on favorite subjects over delicious lattes with thick foam and a light dusting of cinnamon. There was one detail that stuck out as a slight problem in the context of all that enjoyment and relaxation. Apparently two of the four Jennifers had ran into a couple of her acquaintances at about the same time during the evening. The problem was that had happened on opposite sides of town, and there was no reasonable explanation for her traveling that distance so fast. She didn't worry too much about that. What were the odds of the two rather distant acquaintances sharing this piece of information with such a level of detail? One uneventful week passed, during which Jennifer forgot about the incident and focused on perfecting her new design. Fate is a cruel mistress. When the laws of causality are messed with, it always makes it its first priority to point out the anomaly to everyone who would listen. That's how Jennifer's mother found out that her daughter had been seen in two places at once, and she immediately rushed to her child's apartment to find out every detail. Mom, I told you, they must be mistaken. How could I possibly be in two places at once? That doesn't make any sense. Jennifer tried her best impression of innocence and normality. Just because you're not aware of it, Jennifer, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. You know, I heard about cases like yours. They're very rare indeed, but they happened before. It's called bilocation, or multilocation. It's a rare and miraculous ability. You should be proud, honey. Her mother continued, excited. You know, they say most people do it without their knowledge. Maybe you should try it consciously, see what happens. When Mobius learns about this, as I assume he will, I'll never hear the end of it, Jennifer thought. I suppose I should be grateful the other two Jennifers weren't eager to attend social events, or I would have been in four places at once instead of two. First Zanzibar, now bilocation. At this rate I'll have to explain to people how I turned into a troop of flying monkeys before I get a grasp on that code. We should all get together to talk about the details, her mother continued. I'm not sure I have time for this, you know, I've been very busy with work and there are some home projects that I kept putting off but which really need done soon. Nonsense. House chores. Huh. I'll invite everybody for dinner so we can talk about your extraordinary experience. She noticed that Jennifer was about to say something and preempted her objection. And no, I'm not trying to fix you up with anyone, relax. This bilocation stuff is weird, you don't know how people will react. You have to test the waters first, you know, break it into the conversation gently. You're in no shape to do that right now. Being special takes some getting used to. Take your time to adjust, don't rush into anything. Definitely. Jennifer thought, if I don't get shipped to the basement on the first available transport for messing with the laws of physics, I'll definitely take some time to think about this. You know, staring at me like that feels even more intimidating now that I learned you see me as a bundle of circuits stuffed in a disposable bag. If you keep doing that, I might start to melt, but it's not going to change the fact that my alter egos created a reality distortion downstairs. Nobody can change that now. Jennifer randomly decided that her best defense was a powerful offense and went with that decision without giving it a second thought. Actually, I could, but I don't think it's worth going through the trouble. I'm sure that by now most of the people already created some sort of logical explanation for themselves regarding what they saw. It never ceases to amaze me how you always go with the first thing that floats through your head. I don't see you as a bundle of circuits in a bag. There is no bag, you're all circuits, body and all. What did you learn? That vanity is wrong? Jennifer produced what she assumed was the expected answer. Again, first thought. No. That I should know what I'm doing before I try to make any changes? Goodness no. If that were true, nobody would do anything ever. What then? Jennifer asked, stumped. Well, I have a few observations. First, you seem very comfortable in the company of the Jennifers. Maybe you like yourself more than you thought. I wouldn't exactly say that, Jennifer protested, not very convincingly. Please, Jennifer, this false modesty stuff, I don't know why humans have invented it, but it's really irritating. So, you like yourself, he interrupted. Second, you always have to make the best of any situation. Since none of them are ever random, try to think of them as challenges and strive to make them work for the good of all concerned. If you happen to have several copies of you run around town, what would be the benefits of that for you or other people? My mother thinks I have special abilities, Jennifer commented, absent-minded. That happens to be correct, but it doesn't answer my question. I can't think of anything. If you can do something, but it doesn't yield any benefits and you have to waste perfectly good time mopping up the consequences, maybe it is not something worth doing in the first place. I know you weren't trying to copy yourself, I'm just making a suggestion for the future. How is your new do coming? Have you gotten used to it yet? Jennifer was surprised that this situation she accidentally created didn't get her into more trouble, but she counted her blessings and moved on. She took another look in the mirror at her new and improved self, and the first thought that came to her mind was that it didn't make the least bit of difference. Maybe the sages had been right all along, that the physical appearance didn't matter, or maybe her old image was too deeply ingrained in her psyche to let go of, or maybe she was, as some people said, difficult to please. All in all, her new look was an improvement on the old version, so she decided to keep it. I don't know. Maybe I'll stay with this for a while and change it when I get bored, Jennifer replied, and at the same time a wicked thought occurred to her. It was inadvisable to show up as herself in several places at once, but if her alter egos donned different appearances, that would be a fun thing to try. See what comes to you when you're thinking things through? Mobius flashed her a rather dark and inscrutable smile. What on earth are you? Jennifer replied, half joking, half scared. You're afraid of everything, Jennifer. That's why you never have any fun. Live a little, He patted her on the back, in a much better mood. Keep thinking? Of course, if I were to copy myself into a troop of flying monkeys, I wouldn't want the monkeys to stand out like a sore thumb. The more self-effacing, the better. Different ages, different genders. I wonder if I could look a different gender. She went out on a tangent. You can look like a pear tree or a little island if you wish. You should keep an open mind about it, Mobius replied, encouraged. I'm glad you started to think beyond human limitations. What difference does it make under what guise you show up if you can change it at will? Your kind is so chained to their bodies. For instance, I prefer this form. He morphed into a luminescent school of angelfish. You mean that wasn't what you look like? Which one is you? Jennifer jumped, really shocked, searching for a telltale characteristic among a sea of fish which looked more or less the same. All of them, of course. Assumptions, Jennifer. The school of fish waved in disappointment. Obviously I am not human. Why in the world would I be organized like one? You really got to shake those dusty beliefs you carry around like dead weight, otherwise you'll never manage to enjoy yourself. But you do have a true form. Jennifer hoped to find some commonality of being. I try not to, it wastes energy. I'm a composite entity anyway, it's a lot more efficient to travel in packets. He remembered something and turned around to warn Jennifer, who was still too discombobulated over talking to fish to focus on the conversation. Oh, I almost forgot. No mythical creatures, please. No dragons, dodo birds, basilisks, mermaids, unicorns, griffins, you get the idea. They're almost impossible to clean up and I've been yelled at enough this week. The school of fish swirled, impatient, as if waiting for something. There are advantages and disadvantages that come with different guises. For instance, in the distributed generation you can never get all the packets to travel at the same speed, so now I'm stuck in this form until all the fish arrive. Jennifer thought of all those times when she watched puffy clouds glide together across the sky, and coordinated flocks of birds swerve suddenly in unison, and swarms of bees united in purpose, and sprays of flowers bend gently in the wind as one, and she realized that when she returned to the real world, if there was such a thing, she would never be sure of anything again. Is there any way you can explain this to me? She asked. Everything in existence is organized by information. Genes in living things, crystalline structure in inorganic matter, wavelength in energy, everything has a blueprint. I'm just molded by a particular blueprint, like water takes the form of the vessel it is poured in. And yet I'm made of solid matter, Jennifer continued her train of thought, too involved in her new pet concept to explore its ramifications. There is no such thing anywhere in creation. Everything is information and all the information shares the same essence. That is all there is.